There's a renewed effort now to help free a woman who's been incarcerated since 2004 and is now serving a life sentence for killing a man who hired her for sex when she was 16. Now, 29-year-old Cyntoia Brown has been locked up in Tennessee for 13 years. Her lawyers say she was a runaway who was trafficked by a pimp who abused and raped her and forced her into street prostitution. In court, she said she didn't have a choice.
He wasn't going to let me go nowhere. He's told me he'd kill me. He knows where my mom lives.
Cyntoia Brown says one night she was sent by her pimp out on the street where 43-year-old Johnny Allen picked her up, brought her to his home, and she says she killed Allen in self-defense. Her lawyers also say Cyntoia had fetal alcohol syndrome, which disrupted her thinking and was caused by her biological mother drinking when she was pregnant with her.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't hate myself for the way that she's ended up. I said, it begins with me. It's ultimately my fault.
That's Cyntoia Brown's biological mother, Georgina, in the 2011 documentary Me Facing Life, the Cyntoia Brown Story, which has been getting more attention lately since the hashtag Free Cyntoia Brown was circulated on social media by celebrities like Rihanna and Kim Kardashian West, who say a 16-year-old might have been seen in 2004 as a prostitute, but today we should view her as a victim of sex trafficking. Filmmaker Dan Berman produced the documentary about Cyntoia and joins us from the University of Southern California, where he teaches journalism. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Robin.
What brought you to Cyntoia Brown?
I gained access to the juvenile justice system in Nashville in 2002 because I was taking on a project looking at juvenile violence. In 2004, when Cyntoia was arrested, I got a call from the public defender's office telling me about a young girl who had just been arrested and who was in their custody. When they gave me the outline of Cyntoia Brown's case, I decided that I would get on a plane that night. And the next morning, I was sitting in the juvenile detention center talking to a young girl who would then start to open up her life and give us insight into what happened to her and what led to her very violent situation.
Well, tell us about, you know, how she came to be a runaway. What's some of her background?
Cyntoia Brown has a past that took us a while to uncover. This is a young girl who, starting at about age 7, was starting to be abused sexually by men and boys until the point where she becomes a runaway at age 16. And when she ends up on the streets, she's looking for protection. She was picked up by this guy by the name of Cutthroat, who pulls her into a motel, is sexually abusing her, raping her, along with his friends. He sends her out onto the streets with a gun in her purse and says, "You better go get some money, and if you don't, I know where your family lives." And she is picked up by a guy who picks her up for sex.
Well, let's hear some of your footage of what happened. She testified in court when she was 16 about this night when she goes home with this man who picked her up, Johnny Allen. And she said that he had showed her his gun collection, and this made her nervous. Let's listen.
If he does something to me, I'm sitting here thinking, what can I do? I'm in his house. Ain't nobody gonna know where I'm at. My mom and them, they don't know where I'm at. The people that I stay with, chick on them, they don't know where I'm at. Nobody's going to know what happens to me. Cut, he doesn't care. He doesn't even know who I left with. And all this is just running through my mind, and I'm just a nervous wreck.
She says that the man, Allen, reached under the bed where the guns were, and she got frightened and took that pistol that Cutthroat, the pimp, gave her and shot him. Look, we are now learning, because of your documentary and now the new response to Cyntoia Brown, that anyone under 18 in the U.S. involved in commercial sex for sale is considered to be trafficked. So how did she end up with a life sentence with no possibility for parole for 51 years when she was just 16 and being trafficked when this happened?
Sex trafficking was not the word of the day in 2004 when Cyntoia was arrested. Prostitution was. What would have happened in 2004, had she been tried in a juvenile system, she would have been released by age 19. So the juvenile court's choice was to put her into an adult court. For a juvenile, because of how the federal and state laws work, she has to be eligible for parole at some point. So there's a reduction that makes it possible for her to be released at 51 years.
Well, your documentary brought attention to the case. Some say this renewed interest started after a Nashville TV station aired a story just a couple weeks ago. Are you surprised that there's interest again from people like Rihanna and Kim Kardashian? And is she? You're in touch.
It's not surprising to me that this is drawing attention right now, right here, right now. we're at a point in our society where we're starting to ask some very serious questions about sex abuse, where we have predators, powerful people who are preying on women, and it's coming to the forefront in our newscasts on a daily basis. So it's not surprising to me that Santoya's story is resonating. It seems natural.
Well, and according to Rights for Girls, which is a nonprofit, as many as 1,000 children are arrested every year on charges of prostitution. And if they're children, one has to assume that there's someone else involved pimping them. And it's common for minors to be charged with these crimes, even though they might be trafficked. But what we're seeing now is new laws. They're called safe harbor laws that might be vacating some of these convictions, taking a second look at charging children with things like, you know, prostitution. 20 states have apparently passed laws making trafficked kids immune from all sorts of crimes. I mean, they're charged with truancy. They're charged with underage drinking. And this is according to the National Conference of State Legislatures, which seems insane, you know, because they're being trafficked, you know, literally held hostage. 29 states have laws to clear the criminal records of trafficking victims for other crimes.
If Santoya Brown were arrested today, she would not be charged as a prostitute. She would be considered a young girl who's involved in sex trafficking. Mm. That means that a young girl who in past years might have been considered a prostitute, it isn't so, because they're not making that choice and the laws are reflecting this.
Yeah. So there's the move now to clear or at least consider clemency for Santoya Brown. There's a MoveOn.org petition online asking the governor of Tennessee to do that. It has more than 400,000 signatures. You are in touch with her. How does she feel about this?
Santoya has a very pragmatic approach to all of this. Of course, she wants to be free from prison. But her bigger interest in this whole story has been and consistently has been to stop sex trafficking in general. She'd like to see this case have a much bigger impact on how we treat young children. She agreed to do this documentary because at the time when I asked her the question in the very first week that I met her, I know why I'm doing this. Why would you want to do this? Her answer has been and continues to be, if I can keep one child from going down the path that I went down, it will be worth it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think is very important here is that we're looking at a young girl who at age 7 is involved in sex. By the time she runs away from home, she has already been exposed to more sex than any child should ever be exposed to.
Sexual abuse.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct. We're looking at sexual predators. Now put her in a situation where she's being repeatedly raped by a bad guy and all of his friends, put her on drugs, and then send her out in the streets with a gun to go get some money. At what point does that girl become a normal person to be judged in an adult system? It just doesn't make sense. This is where our laws are really running awry. Mm. This is not a normal kid. This is not a normal circumstance. And you cannot put a child in an adult system and expect them to be or behave as adults.
Well, we should say that obviously her defense lawyers agree with you. The prosecutor, of course, still maintains that the most important person in this story is the man that she killed.
It is depressing, but there are juveniles from whom society and this community has to be protected. Now, we all have our own opinions, I think, of where that line is drawn, where we stop trying to treat and rehabilitate this child and start imprisoning this child. Where's that line to be drawn? Sometimes it's a tough call.
But what are the paths open to her?
As arrested, as sentenced, her only opportunity in front of her is to serve out a full 51 years as long as she's a model prisoner. Otherwise, she would have to serve 60 years, which is the full extent of her sentence. Mm-hmm. Option number two is for her attorneys to make the case to an appeals court that her trial was not conducted properly and that she should be considered to be retried. Option number three, which is the case that her attorneys and legislators in Tennessee are working on, is a package to be presented to the governor for possible clemency. Mm-hmm. If all of those fail, the last option really becomes a pathway for the attorneys to take this to the U.S. Supreme Court.
And again, that's with a new appeal.
That would be a long process. To move a case from appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court takes a very, very big burden of proof for the attorneys to make, to ask that the U.S. Supreme Court hear the case. So that would be years away.
Yeah. Look, Dan Berman, again, you made the 2011 documentary, Me Facing Life, the Santoya Brown story. We'll link people to it. But we know you're also making another documentary to continue to follow this story. How do you think it's going to end?
It could be that Santoya walks out of prison. It could be that the governor denies clemency. It could be that she goes to an appeals process and the appeal is granted. Our end for this story happens when we can gain clarity about the direction for the story with Santoya Brown.
That's Dan Berman, the filmmaker behind the 2011 documentary Me Facing Life, the Santoya Brown story, working on the sequel. Dan, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Robin.